Well, three words we looked at last week that are used often, used frequently in the book, in the little letter of 1 Peter. One of those was hope, one of them was precious, and one of them was suffer, or forms of the word to suffer. And we said that suffering was approximately 21 times in this letter. And that the letter very much is a letter about Christian suffering. And so we looked at Peter and his life the first week, and then we've looked at the theme of this book or of this letter. And today we want to get into it. And the first message today that we'll preach is suffering and who we are. It's all about suffering. 1 Peter is the chapters deal with the subject of suffering, and this first chapter deals with the suffering from the standpoint of who we are. And there is some, if you will, some encouragement in the letter here at the beginning, as he's going to talk about the fact that suffering is something that believers are doing. End up being engaged in and having to endure, but also telling us that the connection to that is that we are somebody that God has placed his favor upon. And so want to think about that. And of course, that always is something that can ease our suffering. Sometimes when, and I know it's not always the case, but sometimes when a person does get sick or something, and they go to see a doctor, they go to see a physician, and the physician comes back and is may not have an answer to everything, and may not even, in some cases, they just kind of have an understanding of what is good for the patient at this time and how to treat the patient at this time, and that we know that can be protracted and such, but at the same time, there's some comfort in that. There's some comfort into an office call and find out if you don't have the flu. There's a comfort in an office call to find out that you don't have strep infection or something like that. And you might find out that it's not as severe, or you might find out it might be even worse. But you know, there's even comfort in knowing, there's at least some comfort in knowing what you have and what the issue is. Even though that the prognosis might even be not great, but at the same time, there's some comfort in knowing. And you'd rather know than not know. You'd rather know what the condition really is than to just put it out of your mind and not know about it. And so, remember occasion, you know, you get bad news. People get bad news. You're talking about the fact that, or Brother Joe is talking about the fact that, or Sister Kay is talking about the fact that time came where they wanted Joe to call the family in whenever Sister Kay had her heart problem. And so bring all the family in. Well, we're thankful that the prognosis was not entirely correct and that she's still around, and we're so grateful for that. But at the same time, it's good to know how severe the situation is. It's good to know that there's a possibility it could be something severe, something hard. And so that suffering, there is some comfort in having somebody with some understanding look at the situation. Well, we have one, and when we think about who we are as God's people, then there's some comfort in knowing our attachment to the Lord God. The Word of God says here, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 as our text today in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's do read it to begin with here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect. Okay, these strangers that are scattered are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. He says in verse 6. Now, I've read through verse 5, which is the we're not even going to be able to cover all through verse 5 but today, but let's read the next verse, though, too, so get a context. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And so we'll think about suffering today and who we are, and there'll be probably more messages on this very same topic as we go on, because we're probably only going to cover a couple of verses here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Bless the time that we spend in your word. Your will be done, we pray. Give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Suffering and who we are. He says, first of all, we start out with this early context of Christian suffering. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Who is he talking about? The strangers that are scattered. Well, the apostle Peter is given the responsibility to minister, to go unto the Jews, to the people, to the Jews, to Israel. And the deal is, at this time, Peter wrote to the Christians, he's writing to Christian Jews, obviously, it's to the elect, to Christian Jews of the dispersion, or the diaspora, or the galut is the Greek word, so there's, or the Hebrew word. So you've got these, what has happened, this was the Jews as a whole being settled in other parts of the Roman Empire after the Babylonian captivity. And so they were directed to certain cities in the Roman Empire after the Babylonian captivity. They were given Jerusalem back, but then they did not have Palestine, and they were given different places in the world to dwell. And of course, that has been the case, and Israel did not have the promised land until back in the 40s, late 40s, whenever they again were established as a nation. But the fact of the matter is, though, that that at this time, the Christian Jews are among the other Jews and of the dispersion, and so they're in these odd places, and not by their own choice, but they're in these places, and they are, in fact, going through times where they are being greatly persecuted. And this persecution and the hardship that came with the persecution, especially under their own countrymen, was something that was very unsettling. And so it was difficult as a Christian and as New Testament churches at that time to exist. It was very difficult for them, and they're going through times that are just overwhelming them. But the kind of suffering that he's referring to is not so much the issue here. It's how to face suffering that Peter is dealing with. Whatever the different kinds of suffering are that we might have to endure, there is something for us here in understanding that suffering is somewhat made more tolerable, and we are encouraged in that suffering by knowing, first of all, as Peter is expressing it, who we are. Look at verse number two, because first of all, he said, hey, this is who I'm writing to. And then verse 2, elect. So who is it that's the elect? He says, I'm addressing this to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So there's these churches of saints that are scattered all through these different cities and different regions that are, for the most part, that are Jews at this time. And he says in verse number 2 that these strangers are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We are elect people and all of those that are the Lord's people are elect people, are those chosen by God the Father. So he is saying, hey, they are chosen, the chosen. These strangers are another word for elect. It's translated oftentimes to choose or chosen. And so he says, these are those chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So we're chosen by God the Father. And this choice was, as it says here, according to, and it's according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. It's according to his divine plan and his loving purpose or his foreknowledge. Another passage of scripture that deals with the subject of foreknowledge is Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 23, the scripture says, therefore, being by the right hand of God, and he says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which we now see and hear. And I'm in the wrong verse, is why this is not working out. I was in verse 33, and what I mean to read is verse 23. Him being delivered by what? By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Notice what he calls this, how he refers to this foreknowledge. It's Jesus Christ was taken, was allowed to be taken. He was delivered by God, which means that God released him to the enemy, to the hands of the enemy for crucifixion. And it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, so that means that the choice, when we're reading in 1 Peter, that the choice of these saints of God as being God's people is election according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So it was his divine plan, his determinate counsel and foreknowledge, that is, and his loving purpose or his foreknowledge, that is the reason why that these people were elect. They were elect according to his loving, merciful, gracious foreknowledge. He had determined that he would make them his people. It was his determinate counsel. We read about that same foreknowledge in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Because in Romans, the Apostle Paul is expressing the victory that we have in the Lord, and how that there's no failure, and how that there's never a defeat suffered by the Lord's people. In Romans 8 and verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, how? According to his purpose. In other words, according to his determinate counsel, the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So predestination, or to determine the destiny of beforehand, is what the Lord did according to his foreknowledge. Now, why did he determine, what led him to determine the destiny of certain people was his foreknowledge, his determinate counsel, his own love and his own favor toward them beforehand. And so this choice of us, it was a choice of us according to his divine plan and his loving purpose, according to his foreknowledge. And then we read here as well that we are revealed as such, as the elect people, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, through being set apart, that's what sanctification is, by the Holy Spirit, and it is being set apart by the Holy Spirit. Now let's just back up just for a moment. He's telling these people that are going through their suffering, he says, you know what? It's not about, and I'm just going to paraphrase this, it's not about what you're doing, it's about who you are. It's about who you are. It's not about what you know, it's about, what's the other phrase? It's about who you know, right? And so he's saying, look, it's not a job as much as it is a relationship. And this relationship that we have is something that is far more blessed and far more precious than anything else that we would have in this life. All the things of this life do not measure up to the person that's in charge of this life. Don't measure up to the love and the favor. The bad times and the hatred that other people have for you don't measure up, or even the hardships that we go through don't measure up to the joy and to the love that the Lord has for us. So he's got all this, he's telling us here, Peter is saying that your suffering is something that is real and it's hard and it comes about. He says, but don't forget who you are. God chose you. He chose you out of all the world. And he chose you according to his own plan and his own favor. He's wiser than any of us. He's got a plan that he's enacting. He's bringing about this wonderful plan. He has a plot. He has a theme. He has everything. He has a wonderful story that's already been written as far as he's concerned, as far as God is concerned, that is being played out, and that we don't understand and we don't see it all, and we have such a very difficult time understanding it, but we know that we're part of it in a very special way. We're not just part of it in the sense of being the potential of us being on the other side of God, who's on the Lord's side, us being on the wrong side, but rather he's saying, hey, you know what? In this world, in the life, in the difficulties that we go through, in this world, it's good to know that you're one of God's chosen people. It's pretty precious to know that we are his, and he's chosen us. And he's chosen us according to his own plan. There's a glorious scheme that is being worked out in this world that's going to glorify him, that's going to be a benefit to us. We're revealed as these people through being set apart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has set us apart. You know what? To be set apart is a good thing. When God sets people apart and sets them apart unto something that is good, then it says, hey, you know what? You're blessed. God has been good. And who you are is a glorious thing. We're revealed to be those elect people through being set apart by the Holy Spirit unto, what does the Holy Spirit do? He doesn't just set us apart unto nothing. He sets us apart unto, or in reference to, the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. So he sets us apart as being those who are the objects of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. We're the objects of Christ Jesus' atonement, his atoning sacrifice. The blood, the precious blood that was shed. Why is it precious to us? Why is the blood so precious? Because it bought me out of my sins. It brought me out of the condition I was in, out of that condition of being condemned, took me out of condemnation and brought me to freedom and liberty. And so washed me from my sins in his blood. And so we're revealed to be a people who are set apart in reference to Christ. And that means then that what we find out is that Christ died for us. Christ Jesus took our place, and he shed his precious blood for us, which we'll read about later in this little letter. But there's encouragement in suffering from who we are. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then what does he say here? What's this all about? And we're not going to go too much further, but I want to look at a couple of verses here that say what this is all about. What is this all about? When he's saying, hey, you know, you're the elect, you're a chosen people, God has shown forth his favor upon you. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. These are the people that God favors. These are the people that God's blessings are going to be upon. And we're revealed as those who are, grace to you and peace be multiplied to you people who are suffering. And he'll be telling them, he knows that they've gone through, are going through some very difficult suffering, some hard times right now. But grace unto you. What's grace for? Well, it might be the provision to get you, to relieve you from some of the suffering. And it might be the provision to give you grace, give you endurance through the suffering. So for them, grace, favor from God that is somewhat like power from God, ability from God that we don't have otherwise. Grace unto you, and then what else? Peace. Do people who are suffering need peace? Oh boy, don't we? Don't we need peace? And he says to you, because who you are, I'm going to tell you, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. God can give you peace. He can settle your disturbed heart and mind. He can cause us to realize his will in the whole terrible, difficult, heavy burdens and trials that we're enduring. Peter's wish for the believers is grace and peace. And look down at verse number 6. And of course, verse 5, we said, is really where we intend to end this section of suffering and who we are, which we'll look at more the other verses, verses 3, 4, and 5. But look at verse number 6. Wherein, he says, okay, so in God, you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So through God, wherein, in God, ye greatly rejoice. Okay, so it's great rejoicing because of who we are. That's what he's saying. If need be, greatly rejoice, though now for a season, though you're rejoicing, though. Rejoicing, though. He's saying, okay, you got the difficulty, the trial, the hardship, but there's something that's a whole lot better that you have that is so overwhelmingly better that it makes the hardship not easy, not going to go there. Doesn't make it easy, but it makes it bearable. It makes it bearable. And so he's saying here, you greatly rejoice, we're rejoicing in that, in who we are as God's people, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, it's temporal. All our suffering is temporal. You say, well, but it's going to last. It's lasted a long time. Yeah, but it's still temporal. How long does this life last? What did James say? It's like a vapor. It's here for a while and vanisheth away. This life. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You say, well, yeah, but it's been a long season. Yeah, and it feels bad. And it, no question about it, it ain't easy. Nothing easy about going through a season. Season is It doesn't say here a minute or a moment. He says a season. You know, a season doesn't even necessarily mean 3 months. It could mean longer than that. It can mean that we're going through a pretty substantial period of time in our life. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Now, what's that mean? I don't know. But for some reason, in the divine wisdom, there's a need. Some kind of a need for this. There's some kind of a plan that's being executed. There's some kind of a need. I don't know if it's my need when I'm going through suffering, going through difficulty, loss, different things. I don't know if that's my need or if it's somebody else's need. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know if it's just simply something that'll be a need in terms of the glory of God in the lives of someone else who may not even know the Lord at this point. I don't know. But he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, and only God knows why, ye are in heaviness. Heaviness. What's heaviness? Sorrow, grief, miserable condition, miserable feeling. You just feel lousy. You feel crummy. Yucky. That was the word Donna used about her sickness right now. Yucky. She just felt yucky. Okay? We just feel yucky. We just feel crummy. We feel bad. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. Ugh. It's a burden. It's hard to bear. It's not easy. Don't make light of it. It's not easy. Realize it's not easy. Say to yourself, it ain't easy. It's not. There's nothing easy about it. And what's causing that hardship? What's causing that burden? Manifold temptations. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. What's he say? All kinds of trouble. Now, we know that each one of us don't endure every kind of trouble there is all at once. Sometimes we think we are, but that is not true. It is not true. We are not, any one of us are not enduring every kind of trouble that we could endure. No question about that. But it can be so heavy that it feels like it's the whole world. It feels like it's everything. It feels like what else could possibly be added. Knock on wood when you say that. because it could get worse, right? I mean, it could get a lot worse. And so, we're in heaviness. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though. You rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, all kinds, many. He said, manifold means it's like several things are happening to you all at once. It's like when the Jews, when they were just Jews and weren't Christians, it was bad enough. You had the world against you. You had the Roman Empire against you. You were exiles. You just got out of Babylonian captivity. Things are not going well. Just being a Jew was bad enough. We know that. Now he's a Christian. So now you don't just have the world against you because you're still a Jew, but now you've got your own people against you because you're now a Christian. Now you're a child of God. And you got your family against you because they too are Jews. And you got all kinds of pressures upon you and you got threats coming from Uncle Mordecai, not Mordecai, he's a good guy, Uncle Haman and Uncle and somebody, Jezebel, and all these other people. You got these threats coming after you, and you've been persecuted, and you're going through some kind of injury from that persecution. You've been stoned, perhaps like Paul was on a number of occasions, like Paul the apostle was. you're going through a lot of difficulty now. And it's like manifold. It's like, you know what a manifold is? A manifold is it takes the exhaust fumes from off of the engine. But like if it's a big V8, it would have sometimes like 1, 2, 3 on each side, big three things, and then two exhaust pipes coming out the back, the exhaust system, and it's trying to cool that engine, keep that engine cool, and so the exhaust from that internal combustion process is being exhausted out the back, and it's trying to keep everything right, but it's a bunch coming out. And you stand there in the back of the tailpipe, right behind the tailpipe, and you put your face in front of it, and it don't feel good. Doesn't feel good. It's like, there's what the child of God sometimes is facing. He's got his face in front of the tailpipe, and it's manifold temptation. It's coming from multiple places, and it is not easy. And it's all kinds of things sometimes. And it's not, sometimes it's just like, I don't even know how I can relate what it is. Sometimes it's so difficult and it's confusing and it causes us hardship. And I'm sure these folk here were just beat up and beat down, and they feel like there's just nothing left. And the Lord, and Peter says to them, wait a minute, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And the joy and the blessing that you have because of who you are. And so keep rejoicing. You greatly rejoice. But you know there's going to be suffering. And you know you're still heavy. And you know the manifold temptations are there. But you can do all that at the same time. You can be sorrowful and you can grieve and you can feel the pain and you can feel the heaviness of all of this, and yet at the same time, greatly rejoice in who you are. But don't let the heaviness destroy and rob us, Peter is saying. I don't think there's any question. Peter said, don't let all that heaviness rob you of the joy of who you are before God. And so we'll stop right there today, but looking at this passage, suffering and who we are, and he's not done. We just looked at the second verse there. There's much more to follow here before he gets to verse number 6 when he talks about the greatly rejoicing. So there's more reason, but elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. We've got a relationship with God through Christ Jesus by the Spirit's work in our hearts that sets us apart, and we are the chosen of God. Will grace unto you and peace be multiplied, and greatly rejoice, even though now for a season, if need be, God has the wisdom. He's the one who knows it's best. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity to look into your word, and just pray that you might, as we go through grief, as we go through difficulty, as we go through troubles in this life, that you'd give to us grace to sustain us. And we'll give you the praise and peace to sustain us, and give you the praise for that and for all the ways you care for us, because we are your people. And that you are working everything out all around us to our good and to your glory. And we just rejoice in that today. And yet at the same time, there's heaviness and there's hardship and there's difficulty and there's temptation. There's trials that are ours that we're seeking to face. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you and know that we belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.